En este momento, Father, Lord, we thank you for this amazing woman of God.
Well,
ask that you would just speak to us as a church, as a corporate body, and even individually. Speak to us, Father God, as she ministers. We ask that you use her in a mighty and wonderful and powerful way. We give you glory and honor, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Okay, that's better. Hi, Shirley. Sorry.
Whoa!
Shirley's one of the first people I met when I came to Canada. We were working with John and Carol planting TSCF. And used to come to her house to have kinship and do kinship or cell group back then. And she's been very dear to us ever since. It's good to be here. And I want to introduce to my children who came with us, Beth and Vic. Could you stand, kids? They're wonderful. They are our children. Don't do the math. It doesn't quite work, although I'm older than you think I am. And but I am their mom. And it's wonderful to have them with us. And during worship, as we were worshiping, I saw you taking a step up to another level, and I heard the Lord saying that as a church, you are in the threshold of a new season and a brand new level. You are being elevated. Promotion is being released upon you as a church from heaven, you know, and promotion is a wonderful thing. It comes with a high price and hard work. Promotion in the kingdom is not cheap or easy. So bless you, because that means you have gone through a lot and you have endured a lot, but you have persevered. And because of that, the Lord is recognizing your perseverance and your endurance and your hard work, and it has been good. So you are being raised to another level, and that is very exciting, to enter into a new level, a new season. And even the fact that you're moving is exciting. And, you know, a while ago, I was in one of those revelations of heaven with the Father. And in this, I found myself standing in a big room in heaven I had never seen before, very different. And there was a large table in that room. And there were five angels in the room. There were two angels sitting on either side of the table, and one angel standing at the head of the table. I knew the angel at the head was in charge of whatever was happening there. On the table, there were some books, really, really big books, huge, massive books. I had never seen anything like it before. And the angel in front of me took the top massive book, put it in front of him, and opened the lid. And he began to read. I could see over his shoulder, so I could see the page of the book, actually. And on the top of the page was the name of a person. Underneath was the address of the person, which was very interesting. And it seemed to be very important. When the angel read, he would read the name of the person and the address. And I thought to myself, I wonder why the address is so important. And the answer came immediately, because everything is available when you're hanging out with God. And so the answer came immediately about the address. It's very important. And, you know, God has a lot of common sense. The church, no offense to anybody, I'm part of the church, but one of the things we lack the most is common sense. you know, and want to become spiritual, we throw common sense away. And you know, the pastors will have a lot. He still doesn't have many, a couple of gray hairs, that's nothing. You know, I have way more than you, my goodness. And pastors will have a lot less gray hairs if we exercise common sense. You see, and God has a lot of common sense. You know, he's a lot less spiritual than people think he is. And he's very common sense, very down to earth, very amazing, very practical. And so is Jesus, and so is heaven. So the answer came, and it was a perfectly common sense answer. I heard this word, the address is very important because there is more than one Martha Smith in the kingdom of God on earth. Who would have thought? Perfect common sense, nothing spiritual about the address. We are known by name and by address. And to me, that was very interesting because sometimes when I would be prophesying over people, I would hear myself saying, God wants you to know that he knows you by name and address. I never knew the meaning of it until that day. He knows exactly which Martha Smith you are. It's not a generic one of a thousand, it's you. He knows you. And underneath the name and the address, there were three columns. On the first column were written all the promises that God had ever given to that person since the day they were created. Every single promise, no matter how small or insignificant it is written in that first column. In the second column were written all the promises and commitments that that person has ever done, given to God. Big, small, even if you didn't mean it, but you said it, it's written there. And everything, every promise and commitment is written in the second column. In the third column were written all the deeds that that person had ever done for God, everything. From the smallest, tiny, most insignificant thing to the biggest thing of all, everything is recorded. Everything we do for him is in that column. When the angel began to read the columns, and the angel with the book started reading them, and but before that, when I saw the third column, I heard these words, the reward of Mordecai is coming to the church. And that the reward of Mordecai is the forgotten reward, the delayed reward. You know, when Mordecai was there and he saved the king's life, and it was amazing, of course, the best thing, the greatest thing that could have happened for the king, and nothing was done for him. He wasn't rewarded, maybe not even a thank you. They just got the news and saved the king's life. You know, but Mordecai kept sitting there, and I don't know, scripture doesn't say he got disgruntled because of what he did without recognition. But anyway, one night when the king couldn't sleep, he asked for the books to be brought to him where everything was recorded, and they read what happened that day, and the king asked what was done to him for such a great deed, and for the great deed, and nothing had been done, so he ordered that the reward would come to him immediately. It was delayed, but not forgotten. And so I thought it was very exciting that a delayed and forgotten reward are coming to us, you know, and for anything and everything, is God rewards everything. And we don't do things to get rewarded, but God is that way. And so at that moment, I wanted to know what the name of the book was, what that book was. And, you know, the name of the book is always written on the spine of the book. You know, always, right here. You can see the name of any book. So I leaned over to see what was the name of the book that the angel was reading from, and it said, Book of Remembrance. And at that moment, I remembered the scripture in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the book of remembrance in heaven. And so that was very exciting because I got to see it. It was really big. And so the angel began to read the columns, and he read the first column where all the promises were given. One by one, he read them all for that person. And when he finished, the head angel said, now tell me how many of those promises God has given him or her, that person, have already been fulfilled on earth. And the angel separated the ones that had been fulfilled and marked them and said, these ones, and he separated the ones that had not been fulfilled yet. Then when we got to the second column, he read all of them, and the angel asked the same question. How many of those promises and commitments that he or she had made to the Lord, you know, in every page he read, have already been fulfilled? And the angel separated the ones that had been and the ones that had not been fulfilled yet. Then when he came to the third column, he read them, the angel asked the same question, and the head angel and the other angel separated the ones that the deeds that had been rewarded already, and they marked very clearly the ones that had not been rewarded yet. At that moment, the head angel looked at me and said, starting today, for 3 straight months, that was a while ago, he said, not years, but a while ago, he said, but starting today, this book is being reviewed in heaven. Every child of God on earth has a page on this book. And all these things are written in the book. And starting today, for 3 straight months, day and night, that book, these pages are being reviewed in heaven for every person. The amazing thing is that just the day before, I was prophesying. We were in a big conference in England, and I just prophesied the day before over a lady, and I said, the Lord wants you to know that your page in the book of heaven was revealed today, and this is what was found. The day before, the next day, I saw the book. I knew exactly what I was talking about the day before. It's brilliant when you find out what you actually were talking about. And so anyway, he said, at the end of these 3 months, every single promise that God has given his people on earth that has not been fulfilled yet will start being fulfilled. All of them will start happening throughout earth. This was over a year ago that I had this revelation. He said, at the end of the 3 months, every promise and commitment that God's people have made to the Lord that have not been fulfilled yet will be called upon. We will call upon. At that moment, that is scripture that says, do not make promises to the Lord unless you're going to fulfill them, became very alive to me. And at that moment, I wished I would have taken those sermons from my former pastor years ago seriously. You know, when he said, when he would read it, and I also, right, you know. But many times, at that moment, all these things were flashing in my mind, being in meetings, when the preacher was really pushy for you to stand up and agree and say, I will go to China, or, you know, whatever. And yeah, who will do this for God? And he was really pushing, you know, and I stood up, and I didn't really want to, but you know, you do it out of courtesy. And, you know, I found out that you cannot make courtesy promises to God. They get written in the book. You know, many times when I stood up, because I didn't want my neighbors to think I wasn't spiritual enough. Like everybody else, you know, 3/4 of the church are standing and everybody's looking over the ones that did, and oh my, look at you, I didn't want to be one of them. I stood up, but they really, you know. And, you know, many times, you know, you just do, and you feel the anointed, and the moment you get really excited when they're preaching, you know, and the preacher's really anointed, and, you know, you respond out of what you feel in the moment without counting the cost. I've done all of those things. And I stood there thinking, I wanted to stop the angel and I wanted to say to him, excuse me, but what if we don't remember? What is in that middle column? I can recall a few things. But good heavens, you know, I just stood there thinking, oh no, you know, I am in so much trouble. You know, what am I going to do? I don't recall. See, we like the promises bit because, you know, we want our promises. problem with our promises is, if you are not mindful of them, you will not prepare for them. So it doesn't matter what the promises are. If you don't prepare for them, they won't come, because God is not going to waste it. We have to prepare, you know, and when God speaks personally, we have to be mindful of his promises and do something about it. When we get prophecies, there are many promises in there, that unless we are stewards of our promises, nothing is going to come about. The stewardship moves heaven powerfully. So we need to be mindful of the promises God has given us in our lives and write them down. You know, I don't know if you know that we are supposed to keep our prophecies on the tip of our tongue and know them like this. Because the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Not just the written word of God, the word of God. A lot of confusion, a lot of trouble, a lot of aggravation would disappear if God's people know their prophecies. You would start saying, we would get a lot less emails saying, I need direction, can you pray for me? Because chances are the direction you are looking for has already been spoken to you through prophecies you have in a tape, in a corner, in a drawer somewhere. Happens all the time. And then people want another prophecy to know what to do now, but God had already spoken before. And if we keep our prophecies, we should listen to them or read them, if not every day, at least once a week. To know when something happens, you know, you recall what God has said and you can act accordingly, make decisions right there and then based on what God has already told you. You see, prophecies are very powerful. So, you know, so we had the prophecies part, we have the middle column. That was my concern. I stood there and wanted to tell him, what do we do? We don't have a book of remembrance on earth. No one told me to keep track of every time I said, I will. You know, maybe the pastor did once, but who's listening, you know? And so, I mean, you leave church, and by Tuesday, you don't remember the sermon. Sometimes by dinner time, you have to ask somebody else, what was the sermon about, you know, because you forgot. We don't remember. I mean, the really spiritual people do, bless you, but I'm not that spiritual, so, you know, I forget all kinds of things. So, nobody told me I needed to write down my promises to God, my commitments to God, you know, and all those things. Then, you know, I hope I never said I will go preach in Siberia. I really hope I didn't get up one day for that, you know. But, you know, if it was really anointed or somebody was pushing, might have somebody helped me, probably stood up, you know. But the problem is, it is written in the book. You have to be careful when you say, I will. I will give $10 to so-and-so. I will make a pie for so-and-so. Yes, Lord, I'll have so-and-so over for dinner. All those things you promised to the Lord you will do are written there. Never mind the other stuff. You know, I will preach the gospel. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will. Oh, well, they take it seriously. It was a shock to me to find out they actually take it seriously up there. You know, so. But I knew I wasn't there to say anything. I was just there to get a message and bring it back. So I couldn't intercede. I was more concerned about me than the rest of you. But I couldn't say anything. So I had to listen and, you know. But you know, the amazing thing is, after that revelation, I was talking to the Lord because I was really worried about a middle column. And I said, Lord, what do we do about it? Lord, this is a problem, you know. Like, come on. You know, we don't remember. I know. Most of the people don't remember. I know the way we are. So I got another very common sense answer from the Father. Imagine. He just said to me, ask the Holy Spirit. He can read the book. He will tell you what's written in the middle column. Who would have thought, you know? I was dying there. What do I do? The Holy Spirit can read the book. There you go. So, you know, and then he said, at the end of the 3 months, every deed that God's children have done for him that has not been rewarded on earth will all start being rewarded on earth. Rewards are being released. Harvests are being released. Every reward that will start coming everywhere, and you will start hearing. And then he stopped. And he paused for what seemed an eternity. I'm sure it was just seconds, but it seemed an eternity. He paused and he looked at me during that whole time very intensely. And he said, the reason why we are doing this here is because there is no more time. And you know, for 3 days before that revelation, at the conference in England, I kept hearing audibly for 3 straight days, what if there is no more time? What if there is no more time? And I kept saying, what about it? Nothing else. That's all I kept hearing audibly from heaven. What if there is no more time? On the 4th day, I heard the full sentence, what would you do if you knew that there is no more time? What would you do if you knew that there is no more time? And I knew exactly what heaven was saying. There is something amazing that happens in our minds and our behavior when we find out there is a limit, a deadline for something. When someone knows they have 6 months to live or a year to live, everything changes. Your priorities shift completely. Your mindsets change. What matters comes to the front, and what doesn't matter disappears. You don't have time for nonsense. You can't entertain it anymore. There's no time for it. You have to tie all your loose ends. When I found out I was going to marry Ivan, when I only had 3 months left, long story, no time. They can tell it to you, they know. And so, you know, I wasn't planning on it or expecting it, even, you know, but then God said, so there we go. So, you know, when I found out I was marrying him and leaving my country, I only had 3 months left. That was like that. I saw my future when I was 6 years old. I knew I was going to leave one day. But, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, it's in 3 months from now, you're out of here. Your life, as you know, it ends. You know, and everything will be over forever. And a new life will start elsewhere. Everything changed. I knew in 3 months, by this date, I leave the country. Everything, my priorities completely shifted. I know I had to sort everything out because there was no tomorrow, not next week, not when it's convenient, not when I can, not if, when I have time, when one day, tomorrow, the mindset of earth that is still in the destinies of many. That earthly mindset, you know, the way it happens on earth, it doesn't work for God. You know, one day, tomorrow, I will do it when it's convenient, when I have money, when the children grow up, when, you know, I've retired, when I feel like it, when, you know. It doesn't work anymore, you know, because you don't have time. And I had to start living my life like Proverbs says, making each day count. Because there was no more time, and I had to make sure all those ends were tied. I couldn't go and live that life forever without tying all the loose ends. It's amazing what happens. And so, on the 5th day was that I had a revelation. And so when the angel said to me at the end, the reason why we are doing this is because there is no more time. At that moment, he didn't say this, but I knew it without him saying it. As we looked at each other, I knew that the date of the return of our Lord Jesus has already been declared in heaven. I knew it. Again, he didn't say it, but I knew it as I stood there. Jesus said, no one knows the day and the hour. Back then, we're 2,000 years into it. But he said, we will know the seasons. But I knew that day, as I stood there, that in heaven, the Father has declared the time. They know. It's not being told on earth, but they know the day for his return. And heaven is tying up all the loose ends because they know there is a time now. There is a date, there is a time frame they are working with. And that is very exciting because he is coming back. That's what we live for. As Ivan would tell you, you know, he would if you were here, he would say to you, he can guarantee you that you will see the return of our Lord Jesus. You will see him coming back for you. You will see him with our own eyes. Either he comes for us corporately or for you personally, but you will see him coming back. I know. I thought it was a funny. His church somewhere was all excited. Really? We're all going to see. He's coming back. I even said, well, I hope he comes back really in our lifetime. You know, come from heaven. But he said, if not, you will see him the day you die. He's coming for you. He will come to take you home. So we will see him coming. But you know, the thing is, heaven is preparing. Tying up all the loose ends, everything, promises, rewards, everything. Because heaven is not going to leave anything undone. Scripture says no word will pass and will not be fulfilled, nothing. Everything will be done. And you see, so we are living an amazing time, but you and I need to get on with this. You and I need to prepare for his return. We and I need to do our portion here. And that's very exciting. It's not a guilt thing. You have to rest, you know. Well, if you say, no, thank you very much. I know, Lord, but I, you know, would you have a talk with him? And you don't do it, and you know, you blow it. You know, don't take this lightly, you know, to just say, oh, well. And you know, he will love you the same, and he's not going to be mad at you. You're a son and a daughter. So he's not going to say, well, you go over to that corner, you know. You get to heaven, you stand in the corner, the other ones come here. He's not that way. He will bless you, he will love you, he will take care of you. But you know, it's so much better if we help, if we participate to the family, in the family business. It's so much better when all the kids help what we do as a family. Family business is a wonderful thing. You see, so this is a call. Oh, I just heard the trumpet. This is a call for the family to arise, the family for the family business. He's coming back. And you know, your promises are important, so pay attention to what God has already said and prepare. Get ready. I don't have time to teach about that. Some of you have read our book where we teach people how to do with their prophecies. If you don't have our book, borrow it from somebody, or you can buy it at the resource center. At Catch the Fire, TSCF. Be mindful, remember your prophecies, so your promises, so you can own them, take a hold of them, and then, you know, start receiving them. Your rewards will come whether you remember them or not, because God is faithful and just. He keeps track of it. There's an angel reading there, but your reward, so don't worry. They will come, and you will be blessed, and they will come regularly, you know, throughout your life because of all the things that you have done. But the middle column is very important. What have you said? What have you told? What has he told you to do? When he has spoken to you personally, when he has given you your promises, what has he told you to do? You know, I'm going to send you here. I'm going to send you in the mission field. I'm going to make you a preacher. You're going to preach. You're going to teach. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. What has he shown you that he has for your lives? What has he spoken to you in the prophecies you have received? What is in there? Excuse me. What is in there? What has he said he's going to do with you? What are his plans for you? What are the impartations you have received? You know, impartations are very, very powerful, but they only work if you activate them. You see, you may have most of you people have more activations than the rest of us because of Catch the Fire, you know, and all the years of revival, everybody and their cat came to preach and gave impartations, you know? Everybody. Big people with big anointings, regular people with big anointings, all kinds of people came to give impartations, and most of us stood there and received them. Well, you know, God doesn't give without expecting dividends. And most of us have an earthly thinking, earthly mindset that says, well, when God starts doing it, then I'll join in. When God starts healing people, then I will be praying for the sick. And then we say, well, Lord, I'm not praying for them because you are not healing. You know, it works backwards. He wants to start healing, releasing the healing anointing until you start praying for people. You know, it works the opposite. We're not responsible for results. We're responsible for obedience. You see, so he said, preach, pray, do this, do that. We need to start doing it. It doesn't matter what the he is responsible for results. That's his problem. So we need to step up to the plate. What have we said we would do? You know, we can repent for all the things we have forgotten, with the things we have neglected. We have neglected a lot. You know, and there is grace. The Holy Spirit is there, and we still have time. So it's not a problem. We're fine. You see, he's our Father. We're fine. We're not in trouble. You know, but it is that call for the advancement of the kingdom. See, the family business is about Jesus. It's not about we having ministries. You know, heaven is not looking for people gifted or anointed anymore. I know that firsthand. Another revelation, no time to tell you. But heaven is not looking for anointed or gifted people at all. Heaven is looking for willing and available children. Sons and daughters, willing and available. That's all that matters. You don't have to worry to be anointed. You don't have to stand there and say, but I am not anointed to do this. I'm not anointed to do that. If I were anointed, I would do it. We were teaching a school in Virginia Beach a while ago. And you know, one of my areas of a struggle, one of my inadequacies has been praying for the sick. You see? And I mean, I have seen the blood rise from the dead. So I have seen the dead rise. You know, we had a bird, it was my dad's bird, we killed it. We brought it across his sister and I like crazy before my dad saw him. You know, he loved his canary. And it was our fault, we didn't cover the poor thing. He must have gotten a big cold through the night, I don't know. He had a heart attack. He was stiff as stiff can be, you know. Look at it, oh no. And then my sister looked at me as I went to pray. She was in more trouble than me. So she was the older one. And we are just saved. And when you are just saved, you haven't still become smart enough to lose your faith. So, you know, you're still simple. So simplicity is the best key for the kingdom. You know, so we have to be simple like children and get rid of the complicated. And that's one of the things Ivan and I have a thing, a gift. If we can claim in a gift, is that God has given us a gift to make complicated things very simple. And so anyway, there we were. Back then, you know, my sister and I were, you know, still very, very simple and silly. So everything they said, we believed it. That Jesus did. So we stood there. My sister was holding the stiff bird and thinking, oh no, she knew the trouble she was in. I was just, you know, the sidekick. So she was in more trouble than me. Besides, I was the baby and my dad liked me more. So I knew I was in much trouble. So anyway, you know, the baby gets away with more than the older ones. So anyway, it's not good. But anyway, I had to have RTF for that. So, anyway, my sister is praying up a storm. I'm watching this, and we're praying together, and the bird started breathing and releasing in the chest, and the wings are, you know, moving, and the bird came back to life, and finally the bird was back on the perch, and he put the cage up. My dad walked in, and he never knew his bird was dead and came back to life. Started singing, and it was wonderful. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, then we saw a fish come back to life. So I know he raises people from the dead. He raises the dead. But anyway, but the thing here is, we were there. So when I have seen people getting healed, I have received healings. I could tell you miracles healings when I was, you know, with terrible, deadly situations in the hospital bed, and Jesus came and healed me just before the doctor came and cut me up, you know, and the doctor was blown away. I have experienced healings. It's not that I haven't. But I struggled with praying for the sick and seeing them get healed, you see? So many times, I know he heals. I know this has nothing to do with Jesus. It's on me, my inadequacy. So don't let it reflect on him. He heals. You know, but it's my struggle, you know. So I still used to be. Now I grew up a bit. But anyway, so we were in Virginia Beach, and I was there teaching on, you know, we were teaching on, the ministry of Jesus, the presence, the ministry of the presence versus the gift. And so we were in this school. It was an advanced prophetic training. So anyway, I was talking about the presence of Jesus, and, you know, the ministry of his presence far surpasses the ministry of the gift and oneness with Jesus and all those things. And so, you know, Jesus and I were hanging out in the hall chatting, you know, when the worship, you know, and worship had ended. So I had gone out to do something. So I said to him, you know, it's time to go back. We have to speak now. I was teaching the afternoon session. So I said to Jesus, okay, I got to speak, you know, come on. So we got in, and as we were coming in, and the place was packed. There were so many people from all over, you know, and some important people to make it worse, you know, were there. So I came and sat at the front with Jesus, you know, and we were there. He was on my left, and all of a sudden, you know, Marguerite Evans was running the school, and she said at the front she had a word of knowledge for healing, God bless her soul. And she said, you know, the Lord is going to heal people who have pain in their bodies. So anybody who has pain in the bodies, please stand up, and the person by you, sitting next to you, will lay hands on you and pray for you to get healed, and you will be healed. And I thought, oh no, because, you know, what it would look like if somebody next to the speaker stands up and the speaker doesn't pray for them, you know. Appearance is a big thing sometimes, you know, standing there thinking, my goodness, you know. And the thing is, you have to understand, many times when people come to me, not anymore, but before that, would come and ask me to pray for them, for they have a pain or something, I had to bite my tongue not to offer them the Tylenol. I had in my purse, you know, because I would be thinking, dear, if I pray for you, nothing is going to happen. I'm not gifted in that area. I'm not anointed in that area. Go to the gifted people. But, you know, nothing is going to happen if I pray for you. The Tylenol will work faster than my prayer. So, you know, but I couldn't because, you know, it looked really bad. You know, so you don't say it. Sometimes I whispered it to one or two people who actually took the Tylenol after I prayed for them, you know. So, you know, this is me. See, that's the advantage of not being an anointed speaker. The anointed speakers could not tell you this story because they have to keep an appearance. But I don't. Ivan and I don't have an appearance to keep. We are as ordinary as it comes. So, you know, we're as regular people as the Joe down the street. So I can tell you the truth. So, you know, I was standing there. And so when I heard that, you know, I'm thinking, of course there's going to be people with pain around me. I had pain in my back, so I thought, you know, I could stand, but no, never mind, you know, I'll take the Tylenol right now. You know, this was me back then. I learned a lot that day. So anyway, but I said to Jesus, as soon as Marguerite said it, and I knew I would have to pray for somebody who was in pain, and I'm thinking, I will do them a disservice. You know, it's so much better if they go to the anointed people, gifted to pray for healing. So I said to Jesus, I actually said it audibly. I whispered it, but they actually came out of my mouth. I don't know who heard it. And I looked over and said, Jesus, it's time to go to the bathroom. Let's go. We're going to the bathroom right now. You know, I was sneaking out not to pray for the people in pain, for the sick, you know, because my inadequacy, you know. So I said, no, no, we're going. I didn't look over, but I had this impression of his face going like this. Like, what? You know, I'm going to heal people and you're going to the bathroom? And I said, without looking at him, I said, I'm sorry. You can stay because you can be with everybody. There's the ability of being omnipresent. You can stay with the anointed ones and heal, but you with me, we're going to the bathroom. Right now, where's, you know, see, spiritual people will never do that. So anyway, I got up and I started walking and I was sneaking out as fast as I could, looking down, not to see anybody, you know, because, you know. And I could feel Jesus dragging his heels behind me. I'm not kidding. I knew he didn't want to leave, but I didn't care. We were going to the bathroom. And I have this fantasy that I can make him do what I want, you know? And it doesn't work, but I keep trying, you know? And I have this fantasy that one day it will work, you know? So anyway, I didn't care. I almost wanted to grab him, you know? Sometimes you forget he is not flesh and blood, and I got to grab him and pull him and tell him, and you know, I got to, one day, you know, there was the sunset, and I went to grab him, you know, so he wouldn't miss the sunset. And you know what? I'm hitting the passenger seat, like, where are you, you know? Oh, yeah, you know. But for me, he's that real. I forget he's not flesh and blood, you see. So anyway, I wanted to grab him and pull him over, you know, because he was slowing me down. We were going to the bathroom. So as we were going, I was walking past the fourth row when I looked over, and I saw a lady sitting at the end. And the moment I saw her, I felt this wave of love coming from him and into me for her. I felt his heart for her. And see, that is the problem. That's the catch with me. If I feel his heart, I can't change it. I mean, that's it. That's my kryptonite, you know. Feel his heart, that's it. You know, I can be ready to do something else. I feel his heart and I'm stuck. So anyway, I felt his heart and I knew very strongly, I felt he wanted to connect with her. So it was up to me to stop or not, you know, for him to connect, because, you know, bless him, he, you know, uses us. Don't ask me why, but he uses us. You know, he doesn't need us, but he lets us again to be part of the Father's business. The family business is big for him. So anyway, we are to be part of it. We're family. So anyway, as we were walking, so I stopped and I knew. I didn't know what he wanted to do. If I had asked him, it would have been better for me. But I didn't ask him before I stopped what he wanted to do. I felt his heart so strongly. And his love, this wave of love just came into me. And I knew he wanted to pass it on to her. So I stopped, just, you know, because I knew he wanted to connect with her. The moment I stopped, she stood up with a lot of difficulty and hugged me. I didn't know what he wanted to do, but I thought, at least I can hug her and let the Father's love pass through from me into her. I love that, so I enjoy that. So, you know, I can do that. I cannot pray for the sick, but I can love the people. So I thought I will hug them. And so as I hugged her, she whispered in my ear, "I am in a lot of pain." I said, "I broke my ribs three weeks ago. They broke completely." And I knew what she meant. Ivan broke his ribs 5 years ago, completely snapped, came through the skin. And he still has pain from that. They are not fully healed, you know. So I have to tickle him on the other side. I'm not allowed to tickle him on the left side because of broken ribs, you know. So I knew what she meant when she said that. You know, and she said, "I wanted to stand up when the lady gave the call for the pain, but I was in so much pain I could not get up." Now, this is, and the plus thing here is, at that moment, I realized another level, you know, how kind he is. Then he knew she couldn't stand up for him to heal her, so he stopped for her. He stopped for her. I could have gone that way or this way, you know, for some reason. I went away where she was, and he stopped for her pain, you know, which is nice and all, except that I was going to the bathroom. I was running away from that particular situation. So as she's telling me this, in my spirit and my heart, I'm having this revelation of his kindness for us. But my soul and my mind, you know, I'm not as spiritual as my heart is. So I said, this was my response. Again, a spiritual person would have been very different. You know, Ramesh would have said something else, you know, do what he says. You know, don't do what I said. But I looked over to Jesus and I said, "What were you thinking? I was getting away from this. Like, what's wrong with you? Didn't you hear me? Bathroom. bathroom. We were going to the bathroom. This is my soul talking to Jesus, you know. It's a bathroom here, you know. Again, I was trying to make him do what I wanted. And he tricked me so madly. You know, I'm looking at him thinking, you know, he tricked me. You know, into doing what he wanted. Bless him. You know, so I'm standing there with Jesus right there, you know. He's right there next to me. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at her. I wasn't so happy, but he seemed to be. And I said, so, you know, I thought, okay, I cannot tell her right now. Okay, wait until that one finishes praying and go to her that one, because that is the anointing for healing. You know, they are gifted for healing. So go stand over there, you know. I just knew I couldn't. I could feel his heart. I could feel his love for her. So I couldn't. So in all my inadequacy, in all my weakness, in all the struggles of my soul, I said, as I was holding her because Jesus was right there, I said, "Dear Jesus, can you please take her ouchie away?" I know, a kindergarten would have prayed better than me. You know, "Dear Jesus, can you please take her ouchie away?" And I gave her a kiss on the forehead and a little squeeze that probably hurt her. You know, I forgot about the rims. And so she sat back and I went out, not greatly impressed, to be honest. And because I knew the poor lady, she stood up for me to pray for her. I am not gifted. You know, she should have gone now. I did her a disservice. That's my soul and the accuser. You know, the accuser is feeding here through my weakness. So anyway, went to the bathroom and I stood in the hallway with Jesus and I said to him, "I am not going back. We are not going back in until the voice changes at the front, because I don't trust you right now. You will find someone else and you will trick me again." And, you know, I said, "We are staying back here until Marguerite gets off the stage, because, you know." So we stood there, and when the voices changed, I said to Jesus, "Okay, we have to go because they're about to call us. So let's go ahead to talk, ahead to speak now." And so as we walked through the doors, and there were two big wooden double doors, I opened the doors, we walked through. I walked in, Jesus walked in with me, closed the doors behind me. I stood here, Jesus stood here, and I couldn't move. The lady with the broken ribs was at the front of the church, completely healed. You know? And she was hitting her ribs, bending, jumping, breathing, and telling how, you know, Jesus just healed her. You know? And I'm standing there looking at her, listening, watching her, and what came out of my mouth out loud was, "You've got to be kidding." You know? That wasn't an anointed prayer. It wasn't, "Okay, come on." It was just, "Get out, you know, I'm in a jam" kind of prayer, you know. And I looked over. I was shocked out of my mind. And then I looked over, and Jesus had the biggest grin on his face I have ever seen, watching the lady at the front. It was completely humbling to me. You know, I came to the front, you know, a bit more less of me, you know. But I learned something amazing. If Jesus is present, I don't need to be anointed or gifted. He takes care of business. If Jesus is present, you don't need. The day of the gifted and people is over. The gifts today are simply tools to do the job. That's what the gifts are right now, and anointings on earth. That's it. The season of them being the thing that opened doors and made things happen gave us opportunity. That day has passed. Because see, as we are closing in more and more into the return of our Lord, it's all about Him. Heaven is focusing on Jesus. And the church needs to focus on Jesus. No longer on the gifts, on the add-ons, on the manifestations. They are wonderful and we love them. But that's not what matters. is Him. All the everything is now being wrapped up back to Him on earth and in heaven. And we need to become Jesus focused again. It's all about Him. If Jesus is present and there is someone sick, if His presence is with you and someone is sick, He will heal them. You don't need to heal. He will heal them because He's healing. If Jesus is present and someone needs to hear His voice, He will speak, for He's the prophet. You see? If Jesus is present and there is someone in need, He will do a miracle right there. We have seen money appear in people's wallets because Jesus is present. Miracles happen because Jesus is present, not because people are anointed for it. Jesus is present, signs and wonders will happen. You see, that's all we need, is His presence. It's about Jesus. Forget about what you can do, what you can't do. I'm anointed, I'm not anointed. He will do it. That day I learned a big lesson. You know, it is better to be humble than to be humbled. And you see, I have been humbled many times. I'm getting smarter now in my old age and learning to get humbled before I get humbled. You see? And so, forget about what you can do. It's about what He can do. Right now, it's a family call for everybody alike. You see, if Jesus is there, and the dead, someone is dead, and Father wants back to life, come back to life, alive again, He will raise them up because He is resurrection. If He is present. Last summer, we were so sick. It wasn't funny. We were catching every flu bug in the planet and in the airplanes. We travel every other week, you know, so every bug, international bugs are terrible. So, you know, we were catching flus, and you hug people. You cannot tell people, oh, my goodness, you know, you are sneezing. Get away from me. You know, I can't do that. And I just can't. So, you know, and we were sick. Sinus infections, colds, flus, you name it. We were sick, fevers, more than ever for 3 straight months. Both of us were running fevers and sick like there was not tomorrow. It was the end of the year, and we had to get all of it, you know, flus and colds and everything. So we had some conferences to do in the summer, 3 back-to-back conferences, and I had a little chat with Jesus, hoping He would give us the summer off. And I said to Him, you know, we are so sick, you know, and there was Chicago, Upper Michigan, and Seattle. And I said to Him, you know, we're so sick, you know. And Jesus said to me, what's up to you? But I'm going to all 3 places. I thought, oh, really? Why don't you stay home, you know? Stay home. Take the summer off, you know, with us, you know. But he was going to Michigan and Chicago and Seattle. So he said, it's up to you. You can come along or not. I'm coming. So I guess if you're coming, you're coming too. So we went, we did conferences, running fevers. I tell you, I remember speaking in the front of churches, in one of those 3 churches, wherever it was. I have no idea what was coming out of my mouth because the fever was so high. You know, but people were blessed and they didn't kick us out. So it must have been good. And so, you know, it was just, we were sick, weaker than ever. We had no abilities for anything. You know, we were ministering, running a fever, you know. And the grace of God was there. And you won't believe it, that when we were in the sickest of all, you know, like the hospital has to be down the street, you know. And you just wanted to run and crawl somewhere. And diamonds started appearing in the meeting. I'm thinking, you're kidding. When we feel anointed, nothing happens. When we are feeling like this, there's nothing from us being, you know, participating. Nothing. We're not adding anything. Jesus shows up and manifests His glory, and people are running with the diamonds. Beautiful. I didn't get any, but I saw them. Beautiful. You know, and then we go to the next place, and again, same thing, Jesus shows up, signs and wonders take place, and they are completely transformed. We go to Seattle, the same thing, Ivan has was so sick in that one, you know, speaking with fevers again, and he has asthma and everything, so it wasn't easy physically for us. And, you know, Jesus showed up in Seattle again when Ivan was the sickest. And then as he went to prophesy over people got covered with diamond dust. It was the most beautiful thing. And we can honestly say we had nothing to do with it. We didn't even know what was coming out of our mouths because we were so sick. But Jesus is present. We were not flowing out of anointing and gifting. We were just out of obedience. Because Jesus said, I'm coming. And we want to be where he is. So anyway, I want to encourage you. Do not let anything. We are in the day where heaven is moving more than ever. We're in the day where heaven is investing because heaven wants Jesus to be known. And heaven wants earth to be prepared for his return. And the glory of God will fill the earth like the water covered the seas through you and me. The presence of Jesus through you and me is what that means. As we carry his presence, it will cover the earth. So as we look into the middle column of that calling, you know, don't worry. Remember when he has said, and respond to the things that you have said, yes, I will do. Don't worry about if you're anointed today or not. It's not necessary. Seek Jesus. Invest into Jesus, not into the gift, not into the anointing, into Jesus. He's greater. He is the gift, the anointing. He's the kingdom. He has it all. So invest into him and don't worry. Now, on the practical way, look at your promises, and I'm going to finish with this. Look at your promises, and you know, whether God gave you the promises personally or through a prophecy, it doesn't matter how you got the promise from God. But do not stand there saying, oh no, I don't know, this is me, what am I going to do? It's, you know, when you get a prophecy from the Father's heart, it feels daunting. It's huge. You stand there saying, what? You know, you look at this mountain that just appeared in front of you, and you're looking, you're supposed to be on the top of the mountain, but you know, I'm here right now. You want me to do that? It feels daunting. A lot of the things God says, they're too big to be true, you know, too amazing, too wow, you know, this is me. A lot of people do not step into it because they feel overwhelmed by the greatness of it. You know, but I can help you with that because I have walked that walk. I know what it is like to stand there and feel like, oh, you know, do you want to revise what you just said, Lord? Because, you know, this is me you talk to. You know, and I keep thinking I'll catch him making a mistake one day. I know they're my things. You be nice to him. I give him so much trouble. You know, treat him very nice. He deserves it, you know. I'm learning. You know, I keep telling him, you blew it. You blew it all the time. I have this fantasy. I'm going to catch you making a mistake one day. I know. But, this, you know, I still have a lot to learn. But anyway, so it is very simple. When God speaks and we see, we hear it, wow, you know, you need to respond and say, yes, Lord, I will do it hopefully. If you say, no, I don't want it, that's fine, don't worry. He will love you and bless you, but you will miss out on an amazing thing. So I recommend you say yes, you know, be nice. But, you know, because this is a day of all hands on deck, everybody's needed. But here's the thing, nobody stands at the top of the mountain. Prophecies speak. When you get a prophecy, it speaks of the end. It shows you the end, what the end will be like, where you will be one day, where God is taking you. It shows you the top of the mountain. It shows you standing on the top of the mountain, but you are here having to climb it. You see, and many people quit there. They stand there. They will remain forever at the foot of the mountain, never reaching the top of the mountain. You know, no one starts at the end of the prophecy. We start here today. So what we do is, after we say, yes, Lord, here I am, I will do it, we need to then start walking in that direction. We need to start acting on it for God to empower it. He will not invest until you start investing. You have to invest first, and then he will invest into you and empower it all. So you look around and see, in what I have here today, what I have today, With what is available for me today, how can I step into it? What can I do to start walking in that direction with what I have today? Perhaps your prophecy says you are going to lead pastors, lead leaders. You're going to be a leader of leaders. That is the mountaintop where you're going to end, you know, later. But today you are here, and perhaps they need someone to lead the kitchen ministry. That is an opportunity to step into that prophecy, into leadership in the kitchen, making the coffee, washing the dishes, and serving it. But you will be stepping into leadership. You see? Opportunities will come from all directions. The problem is, because we keep thinking we will start at the top of the mountain, we miss all the opportunities to start advancing. Small beginnings. You see? Faithful in little. So perhaps you have a prophecy that says you are going to teach the nations. But they need someone in the nursery and Sunday school. And you step in and say, this is along the lines of what God has. Doesn't mean you don't want serving other areas. You have to do. There's a lot to be done. But opportunities to serve in the areas, to start walking in the areas of what God has said in your prophecies, take them. You see, and perhaps you will start teaching the Sunday school kids. But you are teaching somebody. You're ministering to somebody. And you will start there. It's a step, a foot into your destiny, a foot into that calling, a foot into the fulfillment of that promise. You see, with what we have today, if we all became proactive and said, you know, Ramesh, with what is available today, how can I step into this? Perhaps you have a prophecy that says you're going to lead worship for, you know, the trillions of people on earth and heaven, and you are going to record and all these things. You know, that sounds is wonderful, yes, and God will do it. He will take you there. I can guarantee you that. I know. But today, where do we start? Maybe they need someone in the nursery, and you can go and sing to the babies. You can go and worship and lead the little babies in the presence of the Lord, singing songs, children's songs, you know. But it's a foot in what God said. You are not leading the trillions yet or recording yet, but you are stepping into what God said you would be doing. You are there singing and leading the toddlers in worship, singing, you know, Jesus loves me and all those things. Do not despise small beginnings. They will take you to the mountaintop. When the Lord spoke to me many, 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 many years ago, one time and said, Isabel, I'm going to take you. I believed Ivan. He said to both of us, you know, I knew Ivan could do it, you know. I think Ivan is amazing. I'm his greatest fan, you know. But, you know, this is me, you know. And the Lord said, I'm taking you to teach. You will be teaching through the nations of the world. Leaders, spiritual giants in the kingdom will come and sit to learn from you. You will teach leaders. You will teach the people. You will teach nations. You will stand in front of many. They will come and gather where you are. And people who are leading multitudes will come and receive from you. And you will give them my word, but you will teach them my ways. You know, that was many years ago, so long ago. It seems like another lifetime. And I stood there, you know, and I heard God had said that to me personally, but then through prophecies. And I stood there thinking, you know, what? Nobody knows me. And I said, well, I can't even speak the language, you know. I mean, my accent was worse 20 years ago, trust me. And I was there, said, Lord, you blew it. Sorry, but you blew it. You know, I mean, if you wanted me to do this, you should have left me in my country where I can speak the language. Because see the accent thing here and the handicap of the language? I don't know the lingo. I don't know spiritual lingo in English. So what am I going to do? Want me to prophesy? But I don't know the lingo. You know what he said to me? Common sense. He said, dear, stop reading the Bible in Spanish. Stop reading it in English and you will get the lingo. Thank you very much. Who would have thought? Imagine. So, I haven't read my Bible in Spanish for over 20 years now. I forgot the language in Spanish. So anyway, there I was, and I stood there thinking about how am I going to do this? Nobody was giving me a pulpit. I needed to teach people. I was going to teach these leaders and people, leaders, people leading people, and prepare and teach them to take them to another place and another realm and all those things. Thinking, I don't even know how to talk in front of people. I don't know the language. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to put a teaching or a message together. And nobody was giving me a pulpit anywhere. There was no pulpits available for me at all. No one on earth was giving me a pulpit, inviting me to speak to anybody, not even to speak in the nursery, nothing. No one was giving me up with nothing. There was nothing. I mean, according to what God has said, I needed to prepare, I needed to practice, I needed to learn all kinds of things. And there was nothing. So I looked, and I didn't let that stop me. I looked around and said, with what I have today, what can I do to start climbing that mountain? Because God said, He's taking me there, I'm going there. You see, so what can I do to start? Put my foot in and start. And there was nothing, no one at all. And Ivan can tell you this is true, because he saw it, he shook his head, but he saw it. I said to the Lord, I need a congregation to practice and learn with. But nobody was going to trust me with a congregation of, you know, not even ants, nothing. So I said to the Lord, okay, I'm nothing, but I need a congregation. All I had was two dogs. I had two puppies. They were 6 months old at the time. And I said, Lord, all I have is two dogs. I need them to be my congregation. That's all. No one is going, they're the only ones that will listen to me. So I said, I need you to intervene and settle them so they will settle and listen. You know how hard it took? It's a miracle for two dogs. I would sit them on the couch, pray for them in the name of Jesus, peace be still, you know. And they did. This was, I mean, God, see, God contributed his part. When you are willing to do something, he will respond, and he will contribute. He will invest. He will do it. Trust me. Those two puppies sat in the little spots on the couch and didn't move from an hour to an hour and a half. They would follow me like this as I move, follow my hand. But they didn't move. And I would see them there, and I would just start teaching them. And I would start preaching and teaching them. And I would lay hands on them and minister to them. I had to learn. I had to practice. And I would practice ministering to them and speaking into their little lives. If they could have spoken, they would have had a greater ministry. You know, those dogs were taught and imparted into. And I practiced. And I practiced the language in prophesying, ministering to them. And I practiced praying. And I practiced praying healing into them. And I mean, I tell you, they heard the Father heart and everything back then. And I would then release them, and I would go, and I would study and prepare for my next session. And I would gather my congregation for the next session. And you know, and I would sit my congregation, and I would preach, and I would teach them, and I would go, and I, you know, and I would go and learn, and I would talk to the people who know, and I would take this talk, tell the scholars, explain this to me, and teach me this, and I need to learn that, because I have to go, I'm going to teach a session, you know, and I have to go and speak, because I didn't think, you know, I'm going to speak to dogs, anything goes. No, I prepared for God's people. And I did prepare to do it with excellence for the congregation I had available at the time. And I ministered, and I did, and I did for, I don't know, long months and months, every day, I would do what God had called me to do. In the way I could at the time. With what was available to me at the time. And God saw and he heard. And he began to invest. And he began to invest. And he began to invest. And I thought, when I was doing that back then with my dogs, I thought, if I die today, I will stand before the Father and say, I didn't. I taught. I ministered to what I had as I could with what I had. I did something about it. You see? And today, all those things have come to pass and more. But it began from there. Then one day, they invited me to speak in Sunday school, to Sunday school. So I was now speaking to the Sunday school kids and to my congregation at home. You know, and then they invited me to speak to the higher Sunday school kids and minister to them. And then they invited me to speak to the young people. And then we were youth pastors, you see, and we began to be entrusted with more. And more, and more, and more, and more. Until today, it has all come to pass. People whose names fill stadiums have sat in our conferences and schools to learn. And I stand there and I look at their faces and I shake my head and think, you know where I come from? You see, I know who I am and I know where I come from. It's not my greatness, it's not my anointing. I found out I don't have any to my great despair years ago. You know, I stand there and I know. It's what he has done, what he is doing. The fulfillment of what he has said. And I stand there speaking to God's people and some of those leaders that come to the meetings, some travel from different parts all over countries to come. And I stand there speaking to them, teaching them, and I remember how it all began with two dogs sitting on my couch. So what I can tell you today is if I started the journey into my destiny and the promises of God with two dogs, you can do much better than that. Because you are in a time and a place where there's more opportunity. You are with people who believe, who have, know what it is like for God to use them and make, that God can use the simple to confound the wise. There's opportunity if you want it. You see, and we, I can tell you on behalf of heaven, we all need you. The work is plenty. The kingdom is advancing. And our Lord is coming back soon. So, I want to pray for you. I want to prophesy over a couple of people. But you know, I know, because of time, you know, but there are things, if you actually listen to this message, it's a big prophecy over you. And a corporate prophecy. A calling to the next level. A preparation for the next level. Instructions to step into the next level together. This is a together thing as a church. You know, you have to do it together. This is not a Ramesh. And is that how you say your name, Ramesh? Or Ramesh? Ramesh. Either way, thank you. He speaks Spanish, so we're fine. You know, this is not a Ramesh and Elsie thing. It's not their ministry. It's not for them to get their destiny and make it happen for them. But it's for every one of you. It's for everyone. And I know them because John and Carol taught them. So I know what they have been taught and imparted into. You see, they're here for you. You are not here for them. You see, we are here to serve and lead people into your destiny. It's about you today. It's no longer about the few people at the front. It's a call for, oh, I just heard another trumpet. It's a call for you all to arise together. Like Joshua and Caleb, they took the people into the promised land. The people didn't follow them because Joshua and Caleb had a bright calling and a great vision, and you know, they were, so they could make their vision come to pass. That's not why people follow Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. The people follow Joshua and Caleb into the promised land because there was a piece of land with their name on it on the other side. And they knew Joshua and Caleb could take them there and help them get it. That is what God is doing today with leaders. You see, He's raising leaders whose focus is to make sure the people entrusted under their care get their piece of land. You see? But for them, we need you to say, I will. I will stand, I will start walking, I will do my middle column, I will be mindful of it, I will just remember what I said to the Lord, and I will start today. May not be convenient, doesn't matter. It's not about convenience. All those things that have been holding us back, those mindsets of heaven of one day when, has to go. Remember Jesus told the man in John chapter, Luke 9:57, I think, when he said, he said to the man, you follow me. And the man said, well, let me go, bury my father. Jesus said, no, follow me. He said to the other man, you follow me. And he said, well, first let me go and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no, follow me. There's no excuses. You see, nothing. Just follow me. And the good thing is, Jesus is calling us to follow Him into our destiny. Imagine. He wants to give it to us. But we have to get rid of, first let me do this, first let me do that. You know? Because Jesus said, if a man puts his hand on the plow, cannot look back. And a lot of us look back, look to the sides. You see, again, we are not in trouble. You're not in trouble. Everything is good and fine. You are actually being promoted. It's a good day. In the kingdom, it's a good day. Here, just heard the third trumpet. Let's stand. I think at the sound of the third trumpet, we can give impartation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, as we stand here today, Father, we want to say, I'm going to pray for impartation. If you want this, I should have said this before you stood. If you want this, if you want to, you know, step forward and step up and do and all these things I said and respond and all of that, I'll pray for impartation for you to go into this next level, next season, and move forward into the next thing, because you have been found faithful and approved. So it's a wonderful thing. However, if you don't really mean it, sit down. And nobody's going to look at you. It's fine if you want to sit down. Because if you say, yes, I'll remain standing, it's getting written in the book. Just be mindful. It's being written in the book what you respond to today and the impartation you'll get today. So you don't have to do it for me. You know, and they are not even mentioned else. They're not looking back, so they won't know who stands and who doesn't. You know, but if you remain standing to receive this impartation, you have to do something. You cannot live today and carry life as it has been up until now. Because, you know, when someone responds and is called, when someone is drafted, business as usual ends. So, I just want you to know that heaven will ask for dividends for this impartation. So this is your chance, like in a wedding. If anybody has something to say, speak now, forever hold their peace. Certo. Feel free to sit down. So, Father, as we stand here today, we stand here to say, yes, I am willing, I am available. And I want to be active in the family business. I am a son, I'm a daughter. And here I am. I will step up to this next level. I will step up to the next thing. I will walk through the threshold we are in right now as a church. And even the visitors, if you're not part of this church, you're here. That's because God has the same invitation for you. You know, you're not being left out. If you're here, it's because God told you to be here. Maybe you wanted a personal prophetic word. You're getting one. This is a personal prophetic word and a corporate prophetic word.